It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. On April 28, 2015, six couples from Kentucky walked into the U.S. Supreme Court along with plaintiffs and attorneys from four other states to argue for their right to marriage equality. The end result of that was when the Supreme Court ruled on Friday, June 26, 2015, and marriage equality became the law of the land. The new documentary, Love v. Kentucky, tells the story of those six couples. And here's a moment from the documentary. This is the voice of Reverend Maurice Bojangles Blanchard. He married his husband, Dominique James, legally after the 2015 Supreme Court decision, and he recalls what it was like to walk up the steps of the Supreme Court.
That morning, if we walked those three blocks up in the Supreme Court, was the first time in our relationship, in my life, I felt like I could hold the hand of my spouse and be safe and be equal. As we were walking through, the supporters making our way up to the court, and they were crying, they were patting us on our back. Their spirits were with us. We were all one at that time. It wasn't Maurice and Dominique going before. It was every LGBT individual going before the Supreme Court. We felt that.
They were applauding us. We have a hard time sometimes appreciating what we've done.
It's just a moment from the new documentary, Love v. Kentucky. Alex Schumann is the director and producer of the documentary. He's now living and working in Iowa, but at the time he started this process, he was a TV news reporter in Louisville. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Charity. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And how did this start for you?
Yeah, it almost started by accident. So, like you said, I was a TV reporter in Louisville, Kentucky. And I wasn't aware that this case was happening at all. And the case had technically already started with one couple named Greg Burke and Michael DeLeon. And they had started suing the state of Kentucky for them to recognize their out-of-state marriage. They had actually been married in Canada and wanted their marriage to be recognized. And I ended up being assigned randomly to go with Tim Love and his now husband Larry when they went with their attorney to a county clerk in Kentucky to go apply for a marriage license, knowing they would get denied, so then they could just challenge the state on the entire idea of whether or not same-sex couples should be able to get married. And I just really got along well with Tim and Larry. The attorneys that were representing them were particularly very media savvy. And I just happened to ask because I had just watched another very famous Supreme Court film called The Case Against 8, which is about Proposition 8 out in California. And I said, you know, is anybody capturing this? And the attorney said, no, not besides doing, you know, short daily stories like you are right now. And I just, the idea stuck with me. I had finished another film not long before that on allergies. And I just thought this is such a tremendous opportunity to capture history, and I kept bothering the attorneys every so often, and then eventually it turned into a full-fledged project, and we got involved, and they gave us a lot of access, and that's how it started.
So was there something that you saw on that first day that in addition to just, you know, kind of clicking with the couple, was there something that made you think, oh, you know, I'm witnessing history at this moment?
I think it's just that you really got a sense that this could be it. And I can't really explain that. And also, as a storyteller and a journalist, I really liked the dynamic of their relationship and them challenging a state like Kentucky, which has a reputation for being so conservative. And in reality, I mean, similar to how a lot of people outside of Iowa think of Iowa one way, and then they get here and they're very pleasantly surprised by that it is actually diverse. There are conservative people, there are liberal people. Kentucky is much the same way. And Louisville is kind of this blue dot in the middle of a red state. And the dynamic really struck with me that you could make a different kind of Supreme Court film. Normally they're really, from a visual standpoint, dark and gray, very serious. And Tim and Larry were funny. The attorneys were funny. And I thought there was a chance you could try and make it very colorful. I mean, you, like the clip you played You know, I mean, in another example of colorful is just think about the name. My favorite name of any person I've ever interviewed is Reverend Maurice Bojangles Blanchard. And he is an amazing guy. So is his husband. But there was just so much color. I thought there was a great opportunity. And I also tend to like stories and to tell visual stories that don't automatically seem like they would be good visual stories. I kind of like the challenge.
You were talking culturally about Kentucky, and I guess maybe I'm one of those people that has some preconceived notions about what it must be like to be LGBTQ in a southern state that is known for being conservative. And of course, there have been challenges for individuals in every state in all over the world. But I do want to play another moment from the documentary that maybe this is cultural, maybe this is just personal within a family. But one of the people that you featured, Luke Mead Barlow, talks about his childhood and also his journey to getting married to his husband, Jim. They traveled to Iowa for that ceremony. And let's listen to this.
When I was in high school, we had a gravity furnace. You have vents in the floor and the furnace is in the basement. And my bedroom was right over the breakfast room. And I heard my parents discussing what they were going to do with their queer child. And that's the first suicide attempt. I took a bunch of pills. I was reaching out and saying, okay, I need somebody to understand me. I was in high school, what is it, 16, 17? And two or three weeks later, nothing had changed, nothing whatsoever. So I cut my wrist and fell down the flight of stairs. And I remember my mother saying, don't let him bleed on the carpet. When I was growing up, we didn't have Lexington Pride. We didn't have anybody I could go to and turn to and say, help me. People weren't gay friendly. It was just a difficult, difficult time. We exchanged rings under the table. We were so in the closet, and we still are. But we exchanged rings under the table, even though these people knew why we were there. I know it seems kind of silly, but we just were not used to doing that. And we didn't kiss, we didn't hug, we didn't do anything. But on the way to Iowa, Jim sang, I'm getting married in the morning. I finally told him, shut up. And then coming home, he was singing, I Got Married in a Fever.
Another moment from the new documentary, Love v. Kentucky. And Alex, just those stories that Luke shares about growing up, I know that his experience is not unusual for people growing up different in a culture that doesn't accept that. But were you struck really by the depth of the discrimination that he'd experienced?
Yes, it was really profound. I kind of went into this film. I mean, I'm very much of the millennial to where I don't really understand why some people get so upset over other people's personal lives. And so I went into this film almost like Kenneth Parcell from 30 Rock, where I just thought, oh, this is just, you know, it's fantastic. It's rosy. Obviously, they're going to win. It's going to happen. And then as you start to meet these people and you hear their stories, it's so profound how difficult it was for them, especially for Luke. Him and Jim are much older than the other plaintiffs. And so his childhood and growing up in Lexington, Kentucky in the 60s and 70s, you know, they would do raids where police would just come into clubs that were known for being a gay club and they would just arrest them for being gay. And there's a great archive the University of Kentucky has that highlights all of this and keeps track of all of this. But that was really profound. And we would also have little moments where the plaintiffs would touch on, you know, they would tell us outwardly that the only reason they would be holding hands on camera in front of us was simply because we had made them feel comfortable enough to do that. So even in the modern Louisville and in the modern Kentucky, there's still some strong sense of discrimination.
You get to know all these individual couples on this journey, but you also profile attorneys who were involved in this process. Why was that important to you to tell that part of the story?
I think that part is important because what tends to happen when the media covers these types of cases on a day-to-day basis, because you just also don't have time to explain it, But these attorneys oftentimes are the ones that start the cases. And what we really wanted to do, and then they kind of draft the plaintiffs or find couples to join the case after the fact. And so to us, the attorneys are just as important to how this all happened. And we also wanted people to really get a sense of and come away learning something as to how these cases work. And these attorneys were an important piece of that. And also their personalities are part of the case. And they guide the case forward. So we included them simply because while we wanted to humanize it, we also thought that, and this was another way of trying to make the film a bit more colorful, is that it's not always the story is not just the couples. It's also the story of these attorneys, how they work together, and how they were able to succeed at all.
Now, as this case was going to the Supreme Court, of course, nobody took for granted what was going to happen on that case. But, you know, from here in Iowa, where marriage equality had been the law of the land, maybe it was a little easier to feel the momentum. How did it feel in Kentucky leading up to that case?
There was a sense, at least among the attorneys and the plaintiffs, after they had finally been able to make the arguments at the Supreme Court, that this was going to be it. You got to feel that maybe people thought they could win before that, but everybody, you know, they were just afraid of jinxing it, that nobody wanted to say it out loud. But there was a large consideration that this was going to be the one, and they could feel the momentum, because even in Kentucky, they would have huge pro-marriage equality rallies where a large number of people would come out in support, at least in places like Louisville and Lexington.
What do you think people can learn from watching this documentary now? Because now we're on the other side of the case. I mean, this is a part of history now. But why is this story still so important in your mind?
I think it is important for people to watch so that they can understand whether or not they agree with the idea of marriage equality and same-sex marriage being allowed, how their country gets changed by these small, sometimes, I mean, very small-time or local attorneys, and just learning the process and learning to understand their country and also learning more about this very significant case. Its name is Obergefell v. Hodges when it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is the name of a plaintiff from Ohio. And most people don't realize that there are four different states involved in this case. Jim Obergefell was not the only plaintiff involved. These attorneys were not the attorneys that went before the Supreme Court weren't the only attorneys. There's just so much complicated background that went into making this history possible. And it may never happen again, but it's also the type of thing that can at least help people better understand their judicial system.
Have you had the opportunity to talk with the couples you profiled after they've seen the documentary?
Yes. Yes, I have.
So tell me a little bit about some of the responses you've gotten.
I'm always ready for something negative. Everything has been positive so far. They've all really appreciated it. They were actually glad that one of the difficulties is that Kentucky, of all the four states, had the most plaintiffs. So the biggest challenge was taking 90 hours of footage and whittling it down into 88, 87 minutes. And I was a little concerned that some people might feel like they got slighted or left out of the film. And I haven't heard that from anybody. People seem very happy with how it came out.
What did you take away from this experience? You know, you're not from Kentucky originally. You're an Iowan. You are a journalist, or you were working as a journalist at the time. You are straight, so maybe not a vested interest or that deep personal interest in the case. What did you take away from the experience of following these people, getting to know these people and profiling them?
There are so many lessons that I learned, but I would say that the biggest one is just that despite, you know, the big columns, the black robes, the serious issues, everything that's used to make the court system feel cold and analytical, that despite all of that, it's still a very human process. There are still lots of flaws. There's lots of color. There's lots of luck sometimes. I think that that's probably the thing that I took away the most.
Now, of course, making a documentary is a difficult process. Getting people to watch a documentary is also yes. a difficult process. People can stream your documentary on Amazon or on iTunes these days. But why do you think people should watch it?
I think people should watch it so that they can get, as I said, a better understanding of how their country can be changed. We aimed to create a historical document, but we also aimed to create something that showed you how exactly this happens. You know, the different levels it goes to, all the different players involved in making these big changes, because there's a lot of political talk about judges and the decisions judges make and how those are political. And this lets people get a more clear-eyed view. I had one person close to me that was actually opposed to same-sex marriage that watched it and then came away and said, okay, I totally understand why they won and I agree that they should have won, simply because I can see the different legal arguments. And then also I think the personal stories around these plaintiffs softened their feelings as they got to hear for themselves from these couples.
That's pretty incredible.
Yes, it was a profound moment. Very proud that it was able to that it actually had that effect even on just one person.
So you were in Kentucky when you started making this film. You worked in Washington, D.C. for a while. You're back in Iowa now. What brought you back to the state?
Well, all of my family lives here. And then also I am moving more into making more films. And I was in Washington, D.C. I covered Congress. I was a White House reporter as well for a company that owns a lot of local TV stations. But I really have loved making movies, and I realized at that time that it really didn't matter where I lived that in order to make Love v. Kentucky a success, or my previous film, Drop by Drop, that the location had nothing to do with it. And so I thought, why not go somewhere where I could afford to be a filmmaker? All of my family is here, and Des Moines has become an incredible place to live, and so is the rest of Iowa.
So do you have a new project already underway?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have three right now.
All right. Well, you'll have to tell us about them a little later on. But Alex Schumann, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Alex Schumann is the director and producer of the documentary Love v. Kentucky. It tells the story of six couples from Kentucky who took their case for marriage equality to the Supreme Court of the United States. It can be streamed on Amazon.com or on iTunes. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.